To avoid fainting, keep repeating.
It's only a podcast.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good whatever time of day it may be. Welcome to another fun-filled, frightful, informative, and a little more frequent episode of the Podcast Macabre. I'm Chris.
I'm Joe.
And I'm back from the Great White North, suffering from a little intestinal damage, Don. That's all I got, folks.
This week. I had that going on earlier this week, too. It made for a great 4-pound weight loss.
You know, that's the ironic bitch of all this. I've had this going on since Wednesday, so it's like day 5 here. And I thought, with as much as I've been offloading, I should be like 10 pounds lighter or something. Oh, hell no, I gained weight again.
Jeez.
You can't fucking win.
It's all muscle.
I'm sure.
Sadly, Jenny's not joining us quite at the moment because Comcast is dicking her over on internet service, so she may be dropping in later during the show, hopefully. So I know we got our theme picked out for what we're going to talk about today, but by chance, do we want to do anything regarding last week's Game of Thrones finale?
Oh, yes,
is
please,
it safe?
Let's bring it.
Is it safe?
I know some people are a little touchy about that.
Let me just start by saying I fucking called it. Ollie, you little prick.
Yes.
Traitorous little bastard.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
What's his name? The chubby guy.
Sam.
Did he participate in the Et Tu Caesar?
No. He was not there.
He's started following Sanchez's storyline in the book. In the book, John's the one who actually sends him off. There's a whole other sub storyline going on there. But, Sam actually has gone to, Old Town to, become a maester. And he's taken, Gilly and the baby with him. So, yeah, all of John's allies besides Ghost were gone when, the Caesar reenactment happened.
And it was as horrible to watch as I thought it was going to be. Knowing that it was going to happen, knowing that it happened in the book, it still like just ripped my heart out.
Well, but in the book, at least the book still gives you the hope. It just says, I even said as soon as it rolled the credits, I looked at my wife and said, and Jon Snow fell to the ground. I mean, that's the last line in this last chapter in the book. But to hear Benioff and Weiss and all their interviews, oh no, he's dead. We killed him. That's why we lingered for that long. That's why we had him with his eyes open so you didn't see them, you know, go white like he warped into Ghost and all these other things to show, no, he's dead. George R. R. Martin and his interviews are saying, yeah, maybe, maybe not in the book. So, who knows?
Yeah. I understand why they're saying that because they have to do a little bit of misdirection and they're probably not lying. He probably is in fact dead, but they have to bring him back somehow, some way.
Well, it's rather convenient that Melisandre showed up. So
yeah, just before, yeah.
So that's one everyone's hanging a lot of their hopes on right now. But otherwise, I do think it was a very grand fake out because it was clear until you see the sign that says traitor. I thought maybe Benjen was there because of the whole IMDb thing, but then I just realized the reason he was in the IMDb credits is because they showed him in the previously. So they got to give him a credit for that brief bit he was on screen. But damn,
I didn't even pick up on that.
That's why when they showed him at the beginning, I'm like, oh. Yeah, now we got to wait and wait and wait. But
yeah, it was a heavy death episode.
Yeah. Stannis got his.
We think.
I'm willing to bet. I see no reason why, Brienne would not have slashed him.
I agree. I hate that they cut away though. God, yeah. I'm rare to see that.
What else did we have in that episode? And Brienne ran off just before the candle in the tower was lit, so she didn't see Sansa saying, save me. I did laugh though with, what's her face? The, Ramsay's, little toy when Theon threw her off the battlement.
Yeah.
Cause did you know that she sounded like a squeak toy when she hit the ground?
She did.
Cause it's like, you know, the lower body hit me right split second before the head, so you hear it go, ow!
Yeah, that was pretty satisfying as well.
Yeah.
And then you had Jamie and his, you know, pre-Father's Day moment with his daughter right before.
Yes.
That, she bites it.
That sucked. That's almost a Romeo and Juliet moment. It's like dying in his arms after you've finally gotten together.
It did make me chuckle though, cause she's like, oh, I knew, I've known all along. It seems like everyone knows.
Yeah.
And all I can think of is, you push Bran out that fucking window for nothing. like Ned should still be alive. None of that should have ever happened. Everyone knows.
I will say though, I was actually re-listening to, our latest episode, last episode. And we're talking about the whole thing of, with the actor who played Stannis and having to watch the Shireen burning, and you know, we're saying we should have had a stunt double, get him the green hood and, you know, mat someone's face onto him. Notice what they did with, Cersei for a good chunk of, Lyanna Headey's walk through the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching it and I'm like, that's a body double, because there's no expression changing on the face. I started having for a brief moment, the quality was almost low enough. I'm like, I'm watching Game of Death. It's just Bruce Lee all over again. It's like, cut out the magazine head and put it on the actor's face. But I can understand why they would do that, that for parts. One, they said she's pregnant as well. And two, that, you have one of your main stars of the show and you're letting her wade through essentially hundreds of extras in a foreign country. Who knows when someone's going to do something stupid. So I can see that for liability purposes and safety, that why they would throw in the body double. But
yeah, I probably should feel horrible for that character because that happened, because it was a very terrible thing to watch, but I didn't at all. I smiled every single time the lady rung the bell and said, shame.
Shame. And then we got to see Franken Mountain.
Yeah.
Yep.
Help me out here, guys. I'm probably going to go back and peruse, but still, help me out.
With Qyburn, the half-ass maester that showed up with Jaime, that is latched on to Cersei, that is now the master of whispers, or on the small council, with his little project he had been working on with the mountain after his fight with Oberyn and being poisoned. That, he's essentially reanimated him in some way. And so they're saying he's
Frankenstein.
Yeah, Franken Mountain.
Yeah. I mean, really, he moved just like him. And mm-hmm. from what you could see of the eyes through the mask.
And they've got him in a full head to toe gold cloak armor and a helm, and saying that, I forget what name they gave him, but saying that he's Sir Whatever has taken a vow of silence. And so that's why he doesn't talk. But you just have him walk over and just pick up Cersei in his arms like a child and walk her away after she finally makes it back to the Red Keep after her walk of shame. Ding. Shame.
Shame.
It was fairly satisfying though, like the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
Even with my favorite character getting stabbed and Caesared.
At two.
Well, that was the good meme. I like that one with Sir Alistair. what do you call a bunch of crows? A murder. And then what was the one that Jay posted up on his today? It was Jay or James. One of them put it up today, and it had a picture of Stannis with Selyse, who finally came to her senses in her own way and paid her penance, because. I was surprised. I didn't expect that to happen. That's another one. It must be a book spoiler, because she didn't kill herself in the book yet. But there was a picture of Stannis watching Shireen burning at the stake and holding a number one dad coffee mug.
Oh, Jesus. Anyways, I've not been on too much today, so I'll have to go back and look for that.
And ladies and gentlemen, we do apologize. This is being broadcast on Father's Day.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else to say on that? Or?
No, I'm good on that one.
Yeah.
Now I just have the long wait.
Yeah. I did stay up late last night so I could catch up on Hannibal just in case we talked about it today.
I watched it last night as well. I missed it Thursday.
Yeah. I've been so busy with our puppy. It's been a busy week with the puppy. And then my daughter had a sleepover on Friday night, so it's been finding time where I can sit down and watch. So, but it was a kind of a deep, more mental episode this week, which I still thought was kind of funny that I did laugh at the brief bit with Hannibal when I still cannot remember Gillian Anderson's character's name, but when she goes over and pulls the ice pick out of the guy's temple. And then he goes, technically, you killed that one.
And all I could think in that moment when his head hit the table is, holy shit, they're spoiling all those great olives.
Yeah. Well, all I can think is, because I've been paying a little more attention to the ratings, and I'm like, oh, you know, this one's probably not going to have too much gore because it's only rated TV-14 for violence. And then you have him bleed out on the table.
Yeah. Like,
what? And then the chicken bone through the neck or pheasant bone through the neck or whatever. I mean, it's like there's little bits where I'm like, really? This got a 14 and Constantine was getting MAs? What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, he smoked, so of course.
Yes, because those damn coffin nails are so much worse than watching people get dismembered and eaten.
I'm ready for Will and Hannibal to hook back up, though. This is the third episode where it's felt, and I still say it's intentional, you know, just off a little bit. Yeah. I am ready for those two to clash.
Yeah, they've been slowly milking it out because I was told myself, nah, I'm not going to watch the preview for the next episode, but of course I did just to see because I was still dying to know, is Alana dead or not? Because that's the only person remaining from the ending of the finale that you don't know their fate from last season. So
I'm trying to think, what happened to her? Did she get thrown out a window?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the girl threw her out the window from the second story. So, but I knew she had the best chance of surviving out of anybody because of Will calling for the EMS before he went into the house and she's out on the sidewalk. So I knew they'd find her first for everyone else trying to bleed to death in the house. So,
yeah.
Well, I guess we don't have much more to talk about on Hannibal, do we?
Not really.
So I guess we're ready to dive into this week's theme. This week, Don picked up the theme. We're going to talk about comedy, horror, comedic horror, dark humor, however you want to nail it, but gruesome, gory movies that are funny as hell.
Or even mildly amusing.
That works too.
They're intended to be funny or they're intended not to be funny, but you find something kind of funny about them.
Yes.
Time to nut up or shut up.
Yo, she bitch. Let's go.
I kick ass for the Lord.
Take Carl. Go to Mum's. Kill Phil.
Sorry.
Grab Liz. Go to the Winchester. Have a nice cold pint and wait for all this to blow over. How's that for a slice of fried gold?
Yeah, boy!
Mr. West.
You'll never get credit for my discovery. Who's going to believe a talking head? Get a job in a sideshow.
Stupid asshole!
Watch your tongue, boy, if you like this job!
Like this job!
Yes, sir?
A naked American man stole my balloon.
Oh, howdy-ho, officer. We've had a doozy of a day. There we were, minding our own business. Just doing some chores around the house when kids started killing themselves all over my property.
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back.
I will say that that's why I started kicking it around in my head last night when I was starting to write up a list of different movies. I was trying to think of, there's always the last, the quip that shows up in so many different movies. That's that, you know, it's the bit of humor from the hero or whatever. And then you have the transition even within the Freddy movies. Once you got to, Dream Warriors and stuff, to where you had more of the lines being dropped by the villain, you know, welcome to prime time, bitch.
Oh, you beat me.
Sorry. but then of course, Oh, What a Rush. And I mean, all the different ones that, you know, Freddy did, and then you had everything that Chucky did, and
all the ones that Jason did. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. He's funny actually, in his own way.
Actually, there were some funny lines in some of the movies, specifically part 6, but
yeah,
he never said a damn thing.
No. Well, then there's the bits that still make me laugh in Jason X with the holodeck thing or whatever it was with the campers in the sleeping bags, and they're still giggling and he's just playing pinata with them up against the tree.
We just love premarital sex.
I don't think Jason X doesn't get as much love as I feel it should. By something.
I barely remember it.
That's the one in space.
Yeah, I remember that scene. I remember like the liquid nitrogen face smash thing.
Yes.
And I think that's the only two things I remember of that.
I think when I was in line at the Motor City Comic Con to meet Robert Englund, there were people basically getting a lot of Freddy versus Jason stuff signed, and there was such an interesting debate behind me about which is the best Jason, and that people were saying Jason X Man should have been made a little bit better, and some people were saying, oh, it was good as it is, and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm sitting there going, you aren't going to mention any of this in front of the guy that played Freddy Krueger, right? Because that would be kind of weird. He'd probably be looking and going, wrong movie. But I chimed in. I said, well, I part 6 is still and always will be my favorite, but I love the, you know, Kane Hodder Jason, and
yeah,
Jason X is probably my second favorite of all the movies. And this lady looks at me and goes, seriously, he was in space. I go, yeah, well, so were the Muppets. It's like, come on. I mean, if you're taking any of these seriously, you really need to get a fucking life.
Yes.
No offense to other horror people out there, I'm just saying, you know, it's almost like people who get bent out of shape over, you know, shall we say, spoiling things. No, I'm just kidding, Joe.
hey,
but, you know, people who
trust
get
me, I am one
about,
of those people that stay away until I see it.
Yeah,
I'm just referring to the people that get really attached to certain like programs. Like I'm very attached to Walking Dead, but I'm not going to get like defensive over which character is better over the other.
Right. Speaking of, I just gotta say that on a side tangent. Have any of you guys read Sean Patrick Flannery's blog with his whole ongoing story that he's got written of a night when Norman Reedus was so drunk in the hotel room that he passed out in the bathroom and then thought he'd been kidnapped?
No, but I will go find it.
Oh, I tried to start reading it, but I got distracted by a few different things, so yeah. I never got a chance to finish it.
It is so hilarious. It is like one of the best practical jokes you will ever read. There's a YouTube clip that first clued me into it. It's like the third part of it that Sean Patrick Flannery is reading it at a convention. And just his expressions and the way he's reading it out, adding his own flavor. It's so good. It is just so good.
Oh, speaking of Mr. Reedus, did you hear the nice little rumor?
Yeah, I heard it was just rumor, though.
Yeah, his rep denied it, like flat out denied it.
They all deny it. They all fucking deny it.
So the thing, though, is I think Reedus has a son about her age. Granted, I'm not 100% sure on how old she is. She just looks so damn young.
I think she's like early 20s, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I know he's got a son who's at least late teens, maybe early 20s, too. So...
that'd be hilarious if they were dating and he looks at her and goes, are you going to be like my new mommy?
To jump back into our theme we're talking on. With comedy and horror. As surprising when I was making up my list, a good chunk, there's a great block of all the ones I can think of that came, except for what's the one? I know Joe's going to remember the name of it. The one out of New Zealand. that it's the guy the serial killer's possessed or something.
I'm drawing a blank.
I know you said it's one of your faves, but it's the one you keep telling me I need to see and I never have seen. I was talking about horror, foreign horror films.
The Ugly.
Yes. But other than that one, all the ones I could think of that I could find out of New Zealand were all comedy style of horror. Between, Dead Alive, Peter Jackson, Frighteners, Peter Jackson, Black Sheep, Housebound, and, What We Do in the Shadows. I mean, all five of those fall firmly into comedy horror.
So I thought, What We Do in the Shadows is so good.
Yes. I have to watch that one.
It's in my top three so far this year. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I do need to go watch that again. It had plenty of moments. The whole, the rice. Even they do their own parody of the Lost Boys, saying, "How do you like your rice?"
How are you liking your rice, Michael?
I tried the spaghetti. Do you like the spaghetti? You're eating worms!
Damn it, you're gonna make me watch that again tonight.
Yeah. Well, the one that surprised me too is, have you guys seen, Black Sheep?
I have not.
Oh, genetically modified sheep out in the outback of New Zealand. there's a bit that my wife gave me dirty looks for because I watched it with my daughter, and it's like the sheep go rabid and homicidal to where they start hunting people in packs. And there's a bit at the end where you find one of the guys who helped modify the sheep. He did it because he was in love with one of the sheep, and he spliced his own genetics with the sheep.
Oh God!
When they clone, and there's a bit that it's a hell of a practical effect because you see essentially the guy get the tip of his dick bit and have it stretched out about 2.5 feet before it snaps off.
Oh!
My wife's just looking at me as my 12-year-old daughter's watching with a slight and giving me that look like, "Did you know that was in here?" I'm like, "This is the first time I've seen it."
And welcome to Mandingo.
Yeah. on the Frighteners. I mean, Frighteners, for as much humor and comedy that goes on with that, there's some definite creepy bits in that as well as for the fairly good effects and a great story. I enjoyed it. And of course, it's got Jeffrey Combs. You can't go wrong with Jeffrey Combs.
Nope. Not at all.
Although his character was so uber fucking creepy.
Yes. Which kind of plays into uber fucking creepy with his role in The Reanimator. That, as I said before we got on air, that's still one of my favorite lines from that. He's looking at the reanimated professor who you have the classic scene of this disembodied head giving head. And then him looking at her and saying, "Hey, who's gonna believe a severed head? Get a job in a sideshow."
I watched that with my parents when it first came out on video, and that scene, I remember my mom like looking at my dad, looking at the TV, looking at my dad, looking at me, like, yeah. By that point, I mean, I was in the room and saw it, so they just let me roll with it.
Well, that was a bit of casting that just popped in my head, though. Is it Barbara or Beverly? The actress from Reanimator and several of the other, Toby Hooper Lovecraftian influenced movies. That she played the mom in, You're Next.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the same lady.
Yeah. Yeah. I caught that when I was watching. I'm like, she looks really familiar. But what's some of the horror comedy ones you guys, cherished? Or want to talk about?
Well, you before we started recording, you were looking for like different things to splice in, and I keep thinking one that's not exactly considered a comedy as much as it is a shall we say a tongue-in-cheek parody of his own movies, but Scream.
Yeah.
And the where the guy, one guy is going through the rules of surviving a horror film, and he goes, whatever you say, whatever you don't do, do not ever say, I'll be back, because you won't. You just won't. And the guy goes, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get a beer. Do you want anything? Yeah, give me one too. I'll be back.
Oh. Oh, that kind of plays into Cabin in the Woods. Really, there's enough funny bits in Cabin in the Woods that it just poking so much fun at the different tropes of horror movies.
I'm drawing a line in the fucking sand. Do not read the fucking Latin. That's still every time. Oh my god, I love that movie so much.
Just once. I'd like to see a mermaid. Just once.
Now, unfortunately, I've got quite a few movies and some funny stories that go with it, but there's one movie, it honestly does not really get a lot of love in the horror community. It is a cult classic, though, but the movie Student Bodies.
Yes. Yes. The breather.
Yeah. And when he's going through the house near the beginning of the movie, picking out weapons, got an axe, got a gun, got a noose. What does he pick? Paperclip.
Yes. The horse head from the shop class. Horse head bookends. Oh. And then, what was the name of the janitor? I'm trying to remember the janitor's name.
Albert.
Yes. Six kills.
And what was he known as, the human stick? Because that guy was very, very, very limber.
Yeah, I tried to look up anything else he did and there wasn't.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
You've never seen Student Bodies? Oh,
I don't think so.
I believe it is on Amazon Prime. If nowhere else, it might be up on YouTube as well, but it is the initial, it's one of the first really well done parodies of slasher films for the time that it was done in. I mean, even the opening scene, it's got the first person perspective of the killer, the breather, and he's walking up to the house. And the outside of the house looks like the Myers house from Haddonfield, roughly. It's that white siding and everything. And then, just some of his other lines, he's going like, why are there so many stairs?
I'm gonna kill that kid with the fucking gum.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely one to watch. I mean, that was pre-Scream, before Scream, not even Scream per se, but even before a Scary Movie, if you want to get into the parodies.
Yeah, there's a funny story behind that one too.
Bring it.
For the first time me and Amanda ever decided, not as a couple, we hadn't even decided the date yet, but I said, do you want to go catch a movie? And she's like, yeah, sure, I've got nothing to do. So what do we decide to see but Scary Movie?
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing what the fuck was about to happen, but I laughed so hard during the movie, it actually frightened her because she never heard anyone laugh that hard before. And I'm like, what? How was I laughing? She goes, kind of like Muttley. You started off like guffawing and you segued into Muttley. I'm like, oh, that's kind of how I find things really funny. If I go to Muttley, it's very funny. But the part that both of us couldn't deny is the fact that when you see the movie, there's a lot of dick pics in there.
Oh yeah.
A lot of dick shots. And we couldn't help but be remiss how many 7-year-olds were in the audience. Because they were probably thinking, oh, the Wayans brothers, we saw the Wayans brothers show, we saw In Living Color. What could possibly go wrong? Well, apparently a dick through the ear. That can go wrong.
That's the only thing I remember about that entire thing.
Wasn't that Scary Movie 2?
No,
the
first one?
In the first one, it was Sean Wayans put his ear to the stall door and the dick comes through his... Okay. Comes through his skull.
Well, I thought that was in 2 because Scream 2 was when that started out in the theater, so I thought Scary Movie 2 started that way too.
They threw that one in the first one because Scary Movie 2 was in the haunted house, supposed to be like a spoof of between like Nightmare
House on the Haunted Hill
and 13 Ghosts and stuff.
Yeah.
Was that the one where David Cross was like in a wheelchair and they put the black light on him and he was covered in jizz?
And Chris Elliott playing that creepy hand butler. Oh god. A little flipper hand. That was just weird.
Grab my hand! No!
Well, thinking of 7-year-olds in the audience, I was 8 years old when I was in the audience seeing American Werewolf in London. I just think it was so many that the lines in the porno theater when they're saying, see you next Tuesday. that was actually the first principal shooting they did, was making the porno for the movie. And the whole bit of when, you know, the phone rings and the topless woman sits up on the bed and says, hello, no, sorry, you have the wrong number. And it goes back at it, and then it shows the two of them in the audience. One leans over and goes, great movie. It is, I'll say it to you before we got out there, there's just so many of the little throwaway lines that I love. I mean, just the little British boy in the zoo when he goes up and pulls his mommy's sleeve. Mommy, a naked American man stole my balloons. It makes me laugh. Yeah, there's so many different lines from that, I mean, even the music for the movie was hilarious. I mean, how many different songs dealing with the moon can you put into a movie for different scenes between Blue Moon, Bad Moon Rising,
Well, yeah. I don't think Bark at the Moon was available yet, but if they could have done it, that's they would have put it in there.
I can say too, I spent yesterday watching, two Jaws documentaries, because it was the 40th anniversary for the theatrical release of Jaws. And it was interesting seeing, thinking of comedy and horror, that the way, Spielberg was talking about the way he deliberately did things to sustain the terror or get the bigger scream or bigger pop from people. And with the whole bit when, Chief Brody's chumming, and, you know, when he turns to me, he's saying, yeah, why don't you come out here and chum some of this shit? He's saying at that time, back in 70, saying shit then would get a laugh in a movie. It would get that pop from the audience. And so that's why he timed it like that, so it would segue straight in from the audience going, guffawing, to, holy shit, there's a shark. And so he said it was great to see that when I saw the premiere. He said, you know, everyone's like, So... I mean, that's the whole thing. That's another use for comedy and horror is it gives you that little startle or whatever, or it makes you feel relaxed. And so your guard's let down. And so when you get startled, it's a bigger startle when you have that style of comedy and horror versus, you know, the straight up over the top stuff that's just done for it's more the gore effect than the scare effect that's going on, I would think.
I don't know. I think that plays a part in it too, but I think it also plays where sometimes they'll use comedy as an afterthought to maybe bring you down from what you just saw.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, that little decompression moment.
You know, we don't want you to go home and immediately call your shrink.
Yeah, that kind of the nervous laughter thing, I guess you could say, that kind of would play into that. But if you got the other ones besides, if you got the serious horror that has the little laugh lines in it, or, I mean, you could even, I don't know if you could say they're done for humor or for effect, but you could even say, like, the end of Psycho, when, he's in the, you know, in the mother voice, when Norman says, then they could say he wouldn't even hurt a fly. I mean, it's kind of a pun, kind of a joke, but at the same time, it's creepy as hell.
Yeah, cause God, the way he stares into the camera.
And have you seen that from the slow dissolve for that? If you catch it at the right frame, that they actually have a skull superimposed over his face?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, but what else we got? I got a huge list.
I'm trying to go through the list I was trying to prepare for myself here.
I can say to you another, going back to the New Zealand horror, Dead Alive. Or Brain Dead, depending on
the research.
I mean,
bring on Dead Alive, because I just remember when I first started dating Amanda, she's like, oh, I gotta show you this movie. I'm like, why? She goes, oh, because it's awesome. It's by Peter Jackson, you know, the guy who does the Hobbit movies, and da 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 da. And you know, she's just going on to this, you know, trying to sell it. She's like, it's a zombie movie. Now yeah. I wasn't into zombie movies yet, and I just looked there and go, and what's it about? Well, it's about a zombie-like monkey that bites somebody, And then next thing you know, they die, and next thing you know, this poor guy, you know, he's just trying to keep everything at bay and trying to fall in love, and da-da. And I'm like, yeah, this sounds like a really awesome movie. I'll pass. But when I did see it, and I know the scene you're going to bring up, when the priest enters the picture, and he says the iconic line, I'm going to save it for you.
I'm kicking ass for the Lord.
I just kind of sat on the couch, looked at her, and went, really? But I had to chuckle at it because it's so unexpected. It's hilarious.
Between that and the soup scene where the ear falls in the soup.
Oh God.
And then the zombies like humping like rabbits in the basement. There's so many good moments in that movie.
On the zombie baby.
Yeah.
It was just nasty. But then, of course, just the whole iconic of strapping his cherished lawnmower to his chest and just wading through the whole foyer. That was the biggest gore effect I'd ever seen at that time.
I think, didn't that hold the record of some sort for goriest cinematic event or something?
I think it did at one time. I'd have to look that up. But, oh, what was the other one that popped in my head, though? I was thinking of the fight in the cemetery. I forgot to add that to my list. Cemetery Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's one of my favorites. That's just dark humor throughout that whole thing. Mad.
And one of my best friends, his wife at the time was pregnant, and they didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl, and we had watched Cemetery Man around that time, so we would call the baby Noggy. And even after they found out that they were having a boy, we still called him Noggy.
I just gotta look, make sure he didn't have any disembodied talking heads in the basement.
No doubt.
Let's see. What else? Working through the list here. Gotta just start looking at the videos on my rack. See what I had.
Oh, come on.
For me, number one out of the gate's gotta be Shaun of the Dead.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just about to say. Yeah. Come on.
I don't think any other movie, I mean, there are a bunch of good horror movies that do use comedy. I don't think any of them use them as well as Shaun of the Dead. That movie is pitch perfect from beginning to end for me.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was one of those proud parent moments. Driving in the car the other day, Queen, you're my best friend, starts playing over the local radio. My daughter looks at me and says, doesn't this play over the credits in Shaun of the Dead? Like, yes, it does, dear.
Yes, my child.
You have now Basically, become an adult.
Yeah, that's definitely, that movie's got so much rewatchability. There's so many homages, references, steals from so many horror movies, zombie movies through the ages. And, that's one you can just watch over and over. Of course, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost play so well off each other, too. And, what else can you say about Shaun of the Dead? It's just
the fact that they have an awesome fight scene with a zombie in choreographed to the song "Don't Stop Me Now" by Queen.
Yes. Kill the Queen. I will say that too. My daughter did pull that one the other day too. That I forget what we were doing, and one is cooking, and I had the apron on, and I like had some sauce or something on me. And she goes, she looks at me and says, you got a bit of red on you.
That's when you're like, I am so proud of you.
Yes, I have those moments. I'm raising her well. But,
I mean, there are so many scenes in Shaun of the Dead that you can just quote. Especially the game plan, if you will.
Yes. Well, I did that for, my buddy, Mike Halperin, for a birthday present for him, that, he did, I could share the picture sometime. He did a picture commissioned by, I'm forgetting the name of the, strip that this, webcomic guy does, that he does commission work to. And, Mike got him to do a commission work based off of a picture we did from, Emerald City Comic Con about 4 or 5 years ago now, that, we're like standing in front of what looks like desolated part of Seattle with heavy firearm weapons, like we're getting ready to fight the zombie apocalypse. And so he sent him that picture and said, also, you know, we're both Whovians. So he did a picture, original sketch of Mike and I stepping out of the TARDIS in full body armor with our tactical weapons, surrounded by what looks like a bunch of zombie hookers.
I remember you posting that picture.
Yes. And so I'm like, God, I got a one-upping for his birthday. I got to do something. And then it dawned on me. I hit up our friend, Alan, who does, Wicked Wood. Is that the name of his company?
Yes.
Yeah. Wicked Wood Arts. Yep.
Yes. I got him to do a cricket bat with, portraits of, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost on either end, and put the plan etched into it on the cricket bat. And got a little bit of a friend discount, but it still it was awesome. And yeah, Mike loved it. So it's great having geek friends that you can share these things with.
By the way, I would kick myself, and I think Jenny might kick me for it too, if I didn't bring up the fact, since she's not here, that for I think it was last year, she dressed up for Halloween as Sean.
Oh, God. Nice. Awesome.
I said, I should do this in spirit with you and, like, try to find the I Got Wood shirt and try to be like Ed, but unfortunately, I couldn't. They were all sold out. So I was just like, well, in spirit, mentally, I'm Ed, so go ahead.
Well, let's see. What others? I got a whole list here.
I could piggyback right off of that one in The Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Another one that balances perfectly actual horror and then the comedy.
Yes. Yeah. I've got that one on the list too. I haven't gone back to watch that in quite some time.
I'll swallow yourself.
Swallow this.
I prefer Evil Dead because I do actually prefer straight up horror to the horror comedy side of things. But Evil Dead 2 just hit me the right way. I was just the right age for that one, I think, that kind of grabbed me.
Well, then you get to watch Bruce Campbell beat the shit out of himself.
Yeah.
I'm sure Dawn enjoys that part.
No. I don't begrudge him for that movie. Let's not mix words and thoughts on that one. But no. I actually enjoy that one. Matter of fact, that was my first introduction into the Evil Dead series. Because I didn't even know the first one existed. And then, I think it was long after Army of Darkness, that I finally saw the first one.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going, wasn't all this in part two? Well, this is the original. Okay, whatever you say.
Yeah. That's where, I mean, I started from back in the day of, you know, go to the video store and like, ooh, that looks cool. And so you picked that one. I mean, that was back in the big box style days of VHS cases, and watched that and brought that home. What the hell is this? This is cool.
Now, would you consider its, you know, sequel, Army of Darkness, to be straight up comedy horror? Or, you know, the perfect blend? I think it was almost kind of like just comedy, almost for the word go, but.
Yeah, it almost steps into the realm of like a fantasy sword and board style horror, or not even quite horror for me, to the extent that Army of Darkness goes to.
I'm actually not a huge fan of Army of Darkness, which always throws people when I say it, but it was too slapsticky for me.
Yeah.
It was almost like a parody of a parody.
I'm badass. You little goody two-shoes, little goody two-shoes, little goody two-shoes.
What happened to the words of love you spoke of to me last night? That was just pillow talk, babe.
Babe. it was one of those great things I didn't realize before until I went back and watched it again, actually from following Patricia Tallman on the webs, on her Facebook page, but the whole bit when the first witch turns and, you know, his whole, yo, she bitch, come get some. But that's Patricia Tallman.
I didn't know that either.
Makeup. Yeah, and all the makeup. Swallow your soul.
But I do enjoy it for what it is, but when you stack it up against the other two, it's, no. I don't know. And I'm terrified the TV show is going to be more like Army of Darkness.
Yeah, I'm curious. Granted, it was one of those moments though that being a good movie geek that my friends didn't understand why I was laughing my ass off when the first time we were watching it. And I think we actually went and saw it in the theater, if I remember right. And the whole bit when the wise mage or whatever is telling him, saying, you must say the words once you place the Necronomicon upon the post. When you go to claim the Necronomicon, you must say, Klaatu, Varada, Nikto. I start giggling my ass off and they're looking at me like, what the hell's your problem? I'm like, come on guys. Day of the Earth stood still. Oh god. That was back in our 20s though, so I forgive them a little bit. But still, and then of course, you know, Klaatu, Varada, Nikjan. I said the words, sorta. I said most of them.
What do you mean, sorta?
Great. I will say that popped another random memory into my head of the. Any of you guys ever watch the old Mighty Mouse cartoon from back in the 80s? Yeah. I always remember that with was it Batmouse? Or what was the Batman parody character they had? I'm trying to remember his name, but I remember that was one of the bits where he's getting approached by someone who's like, no, stop, get away from me, Klaatu, Varada, nicotine! I mean, just those little references, when they get dropped anywhere, they make me happy. So. I know another one, it's right at the top of my list, second down on my list, because of course I put Dead Alive first. But of course, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Most awesome definitely. Movie. Another one that's like so rewatchable, so many lines are quotable.
Let's go over there and be yourself. You know, laugh at what they say. Back off, man! It's like this, sure.
Howdy ho there, Sheriff.
That's what I forgot that, until I watched it again, I forgot that, you know, it's the whole thing earlier. I said, well, we just need to tell the police. So what exactly are we going to tell them? Howdy ho there, Sheriff. We're just out here working on our cabin, and these college kids just keep coming around and killing themselves all over the property. Then when the sheriff shows up, well, howdy ho, Sheriff. Yes, that one, they pulled that off so well. I'm definitely a huge fan of Alan Tudyk. I'm looking forward to the Con Man series, their web series that him, Nathan Fillion are doing. I'm glad I crowdfunded that one.
Yeah, that one's going to be great too. I actually watched that without the special effects. At one point they didn't think that was going to come out and a link tweeted. So I watched it without like all the little, so like the kid that runs into the stick and like skewers himself.
Yes.
I got to watch him kind of like look around and cross his eyes at absolutely nothing. And then they added the BM later, but it was so funny. Tyler Labine actually was the one that put it out there. He's like, hey, we've got word. This is not going to get released at all, but I love this movie and I'm proud of it. I want everyone to watch it. And it was not a week later, somehow, some way, it got distribution. So since I watched it for free, I paid to watch it with a bunch of friends and then ended up buying it again later on.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, of course, I always forget that though until I watch it again. And like, or until someone mentions his name, that Tyler Labine, of course, is still another kind of view askew connection with Huck'em Chuck'em football.
Yep. Yeah.
I still haven't watched his TV series. It's up on Hulu.
It is absolutely hilarious. And Danny DeVito's daughter's in it, and she's great as well.
Oh, cool. Let's see. Anyone else got any other ones off the top of their head they want to throw out? Or should I march through my list a little more?
I can throw out a couple for you. One I know is going to be on your list, and that's Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
I was going to add that to my list, and I didn't.
Oh, shocking.
I know. It's one of those I debated. I'm like, Tremor, there's definite funny bits. There's definite comic stuff with the mockumentary stuff going on. But it's true, though. It is one that did, it had its funny humor to it, but then it did go dark. So, yeah, I would definitely include that in then. Yeah. It's one of those that's just been a little while since I watched it. But
I've only watched it the one time, but it stuck with me. Like, I enjoyed it so much by the time I got around to watching it that it still blows me away when I think about it. I need this breakdown and just buy it.
I think Amanda bought me that for, what was it, Christmas? Nothing says Christmas like the Behind the Mask DVD. But yeah, she got that for me, and I think it was actually because we heard so many reviews about it that, you know, we were like, okay, well, we've never seen it. Let's go get it. Well, stuff always came in the way, so we never got it, and finally she broke down and got it for me. But I watched and I was laughing my ass off. I mean, you look at it, it's very tongue-in-cheek, like, especially when they get at the very beginning, where they're, you know, doing, like, they're setting up their mockumentary, and they go,
oh, yeah.
And this man who lives in the former residence of Frederick Krueger, and it's Kane Hodder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God, I forgot that.
And when Robert Englund shows up in it, because it's just such a great movie. And not a lot of people got to watch it.
No. I know, it's one of those I'd always heard, and then I did finally track it down. I've seen it twice. First time, I admit, I watched it too late at night and kind of dozed off, and so I missed a chunk, so I had to go back and watch it again. But I'm thinking along that lines, kind of predating that, and along the same lines of documentary following serial killer. Have either of you guys ever seen Man Bites Dog?
No,
I've not.
Okay, if you got Hulu, it is up on Hulu, part of the, I believe it's in the Criterion Collection, I can't remember. But it's a Belgian film. But it's done in black and white. It's a guy who's a hitman, but he also kills people on the side, just for fun. And he has a documentary crew following him around. And so there's bits where it's light at times with the dark humor going, but then there's times where it just goes flat out dark because it progresses from the documentary crew just being observers to they start participating a little bit and the way it plays out. It's a good movie. And if you like Leslie Vernon, you could almost watch that and then see where maybe a little bit of the ideas came forward because it's in that same theme of you've got a serial killer or wannabe serial killer, whichever way you want to put it, who has got a documentary crew following them around like, this is normal stuff.
I'll have to check that one out, yeah. I think I've heard of it. A couple other people have mentioned that one to me, but I've not sought it out.
Let's see. Back in the... Well, it seems like there's a lot of zombie comedy. Really, to look through the list.
Zombieland.
Yep.
Night of the Creeps.
Yes.
I'm almost afraid to say it.
What?
Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies. I like that movie.
I haven't seen it. I actually admit I have not watched Warm Bodies.
I will straight up admit I like that movie.
I know there are some people that like it. I've only seen like maybe all of, and I'm a bad podcaster for this episode, I guess, but I've only seen like maybe 15 minutes of that episode or at that movie. And, I know there are, it's kind of like Napoleon Dynamite, I guess. Some people really liked it. Some people really hated it.
Yep.
I know it's one I know I will get around to watching it sometime. It's a low priority for me, but I know it's the whole thing of the original pitch for it that totally turned me off because as soon as you say something, well, it's Twilight with zombies.
Yeah.
As soon as you say Twilight
it's
with
so
anything,
not.
No. But
it's more, I would more say Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
More kind of along those lines.
If you want the tragic love story, then we could swing into Return of the Living Dead.
Yep.
If you really love me, Brenda, you'd let me eat your brains.
I've not watched those films in so long.
Oh, I love that one because I also have the documentary More Brains. There's a whole making of and history of Return of the Living Dead. Because, yeah, it's the line that always sticks to me, too. Clue Gallagher can make anything funny when he does the horror movies. Because even, well, yeah, the opening for Feast. Have you guys seen Feast?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I still need to see that. Oh, and I watched all of Project Greenlight that year, too, and I still never watched the movie.
Yeah, it was watching Project Greenlight that made me really want to watch that movie, because I'm thinking, oh, this looks like it's going to be awesome. So we got the first one, and then they came out with the second one, Sloppy Seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a third one, but I don't have that one on DVD.
I think there's actually a fourth one.
The best part about Feast, this is kind of a selling point, but he's also like, shall we say, Janet Leigh's psycho, is Jason Mewes is in there.
Oh, yes.
He's like in there for like the first, 10 minutes and gone.
I forgot, yes. Well, I love the whole bit of, with the scoring and the odds they give for all the characters that are introducing them. And you got the guy most likely to live. It's like, there's a bunch of mutated savages out there. If you guys want to live, come with me. And all of a sudden a monster clock comes through the window and rips his head off. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to like this movie.
Yeah, I need to get around to that one.
But, well, yeah, and it's one of those things of it's the whole thing of when your son's the director, it's kind of easy to get Clue Gallagher to show up in the movie. So, but of course, you know, playing the dad in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, the owner of the warehouse in Return of the Living Dead. I'm trying to remember the whole line though with the kid, when the kid's freaking out and the one guy just says, you better watch your mouth if you want to keep this job. Screw this job! and then the cemetery scene, just the whole thing of it, the zombies themselves. Dispatch, send more paramedics. Talking zombies. That was the first time I had talking zombies that I remember in a movie.
And it's so funny that one comes out like years after all of the Romero stuff, and like the whole concept of zombies eating brains is what really latched on to people.
Yep. Yeah. Let's see. Going for the younger crowd, that's one that popped up out of my DVD, my Blu-ray collection this morning. Paranorman.
Oh yes. Love that movie. Love that movie.
I can watch that over and over.
I have not yet seen it.
Oh. Well, it's nice. No. It's the same people who did Coraline. That with the stop motion and everything. But it's definitely got its little homage bits that if you look for them, that reference other horror movies and bits. And the story is good. I really enjoyed the story as well. And, it plays out quite well. I recommend it to anybody. It's good for all ages too. Well, I wouldn't say all ages. Everyone's kids are different, but it's very acceptable for the young kids too.
My girlfriend's daughter won't watch that one yet. She has watched Coraline and does enjoy that one. But for some reason, every time, she brings up Paranorman, she's like, yeah, no. She's 7, so maybe in a couple years.
Yeah. Let's see. I've got one more zombie one on here. And it's not one I'm a big fan of. I know there's a lot of other people who are a big fan of it. And, it's kind of odd because I really like Billy Connolly, but Fido really do it for me.
I'm the big fan of that movie. It's like Pleasantville with zombies. I love it.
Pleasantville with zombies.
It is. It really is.
You know, we tried seeing that movie twice. When back before we got Netflix, to stream in, we sent away for the disc, and the disc we got was cracked, so we sent it back. So they resent us another disc, and before we could even watch it, our boxer, who was still a puppy, ate it.
Oh, jeez.
So the dog ate the Fido. The
dog ate Fido.
If you will. So we had to pay for the DVD, so to speak. And, we just haven't got around to, go, view it on the streaming Netflix. But I'll just never forget it. You know, we started watching the first time and it was actually looking kind of promising. And then all of a sudden it starts skipping like hell. And we're like, well, I guess we're going to have to send this back. And when the dog ate it, we just looked at each other and went, I guess we're just not meant to see this one. It was not meant to be.
I do really like it. A lot of people I know who are huge zombie fans can't stand it for whatever reason. Our buddy Rick Cross is a perfect example. Like, I would think that would be right in his wheelhouse, and he just despises that movie. He just doesn't care for it at all. Yeah. But it struck a chord with me.
Yeah, I admit it's one of those I could probably give it another viewing just to see. Because there's plenty of films that I like watching the first time, and like, yeah, I don't get what they're going for here. Especially, you know, the movies of that style, that there's a bit of a message. It's not the typical presentation of the story. So, you know, there's a little bit of allegory, symbolism, however you want to put it, that it's just not clicking for me. But when I can go back and watch it later, sometimes it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, now I get it. And then the enjoyment will start. I can say that the prime example of that non-horror, but like Arrested Development. I got 3 episodes into Arrested Development. I'm like, why the fuck does everyone rave about this show? I'm not getting this. There's no one to really root for. It's a bunch of despicable people doing despicable things. And then it was like, ding, light bulb. Like, oh, I just get to watch the tragedy unfold. That's what's happening. So yeah, I admit there's times it doesn't always click for me, but I'm usually willing to give another chance because it's not one of those I watched and I'm like, oh god, this is a piece of shit. I'm not wasting 90 minutes of my life again. It was not that type of reaction that I've had to many other things.
Yeah.
You want shit. I will admit the, another tangential thing here. Over on the letterboxd.com site, I've been doing a scavenger hunt for the month of June that one of the users, his name is Naughty, that he comes up with a 30 item list, and it's like a film with this or a film with that, and like there's film with martial arts, a film with war, a film with a wedding in it, all these things going through the list, and one was for a giant creature feature, and originally I was going to try to watch them or something like that, and I couldn't find it for free viewing somewhere. So I ended up watching that grand old classic that I really need to just watch on a riff track now is Night of the Lepus.
Oh, geez, yeah.
With the giant rabbits. That was a shit movie.
I've never seen it, but I've seen clips of it.
When you use the same slow-mo clip 6 times in a row of bunnies jumping off of a ledge, to try to make it look like they're bigger because you're from the down looking up angle and stuff. And I don't know if they kept showing them in slow-mo. They thought that made them look bigger or what. But then you got all these little miniature sets that you've got all these little bunnies roaming around in, munching on furniture. And they slathered some blood and frothy foam on their faces so they make rabbits look vicious and all this shit. And it's got DeForest Kelly and Janet Leigh in it.
Oh, Jesus. I never knew he was in it.
Yeah, DeForest Kelly, Janet Leigh, I forget the other character actor that's in it that's done a lot of other stuff, and there's one other notable name in it too. I'm spacing on. But yeah, I watched that and I'm like, nope, never again. But anyway, back to our topic.
I got one actually.
Bring what it. You got?
Well, we kind of already touched on it just a little bit. It actually parodies itself. Not Scream, though. Friday the 13th, Part 6. If you ever watch it, it's literally, it pokes fun at itself, and it does poke fun at the genre, because near the very beginning, there's a scene. I love it. It's two of the head counselors are driving to the Camp Crystal Lake, but they're lost. And all of a sudden, you know, the guy goes, I say we just turn around and just, you know, scream for help. And the woman jams on the brakes and he goes, I was just kidding. And she goes, I think we need to seriously go back. He goes, why? Because I've seen enough horror films to know anyone wearing a hockey mask is never friendly. Or wearing a mask is never friendly. And there's Jason standing in the middle of the road with, you know, a spear. So they're trying to figure out what to do. They figure they'll just back off and, you know, just turn around and take off, but they can't because otherwise they're going to fall into a ditch. So he goes, tell you what, go at him. You want me to go at him? Yeah, he'll get out of the way. No one wants to die. No freaking shit, Sherlock, least of all us. So he's like, no, no one wants to die. You know, just go, just do it. It'll scare him. She's like, okay. So she, you know, guns the motor, heads to him, stops just an inch from him. And he, you know, flinches a little bit, but he doesn't move. And she looks at him and goes, yeah, that really scared the shit out of him. But the funniest thing of the whole, you know, scene is, okay, spoiler alert, folks, but you see this coming. They both die.
Yeah.
But the best part is she's terrified. She's falling out of the car. She's trying to get away. All of a sudden, she's like trying to offer him money. She's trying to bargain for her life. I'll give you whatever you want. I got money. And he's not there. All of a sudden, he peers right above her, spear right through the head into like a puddle. But the scene cuts back and all you see is her American Express card floating. And even in the like interviews, you always hear the director mention, and there's always going to be some knucklehead out there that screams, don't leave home without it. And sure enough, that was the first movie that actually got me to really appreciate Jason Voorhees. And that was the first thought that popped in my head. So, you know, there's just a lot of classic, you know, tongue-in-cheek moments. Like, for instance, another one is the caretaker of the cemetery. He's like, who dug up Jason? Oh, I'm going to get yelled at. I'm not going to get blamed for this. And he's trying to put the, you know, dirt back over there. And he's like, couldn't they even put this body back in? It wasn't even Jason. And then he looks dead in the camera and goes, some people have an odd sense of humor. Or something to that effect. And you know, it's like, you know, you watching the movie, you have a weird sense of humor. So that one's always been near and dear to my heart.
I'll say a thing in a tongue in cheek. That's one I can't believe I didn't put it on my list, but there's so many great dark humor moments in The Howling. The little bits that Joe Dante put in there of when you've got, like when the reporter, when he's on the phone with his girlfriend on the island, that you got on the TV screen, you've got an old was it Disney or somebody's old cartoon with the three little pigs and the big bad wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And then just even some of the stunt casting that you've got in there. I mean, between let's see, you got Roger Corman in the phone booth, you've got oh my god, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Who's been in so many movies. Here's the book, on the bookshop in, The Howling. Isn't it Dick something?
Crap. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I can picture the dude. But then the other old, the older gentleman who was perusing some of the books in the store, was that Ray Harryhausen? I'm trying to remember. There's just a little bits throughout that even for the comedic effect of the way some of the people were put into scenes and their reactions and things. But, I remember watching that with one of my buddies because we'd seen it so many times and thinking of adding your own humor to the scene that whenever the werewolves were on the prowl to eat somebody, that it was at the same time when the old commercials were on and my buddy Doug and I'd be watching him and go, he wants more kibbles and bits and bits and bits. But, you know, we kind of ran through most of the zombie ones, but I found a couple vampire ones that can go for humor, besides what we do in the shadows. Definitely Fright Night.
Yeah. Oh,
for sure, Fright Night is so good.
There's another one, too. The minute you said vampires, I can't imagine entering There's my head earlier.
Vamp is another one. I loved Vamp, too. I mean, you know, spoiler, the whole ending with his buddy. It's like, but I thought his steak. He says, Formica, who knew? But all the stuff from Fright Night, I mean, it stuck with me from, I grew up in a town called Brewster. And so we all laughed at the whole bit with Evil Ed. Oh, Brewster, you're so cool. But I'd be remiss to not bring up another one. Well, of course, if we're talking comedy and horror, you gotta at least mention Dr. Giggles.
Of
right?
course, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that on other shows as well, but yeah, I need to find a copy of that again, because there's just so many great one-liner punny jokes that he does throughout the whole movie that I can sit back and enjoy it, and it's creative kills too. So, I mean, it's a fun movie. But, the other one I gotta at least throw in is Slither.
I was just
right.
about to say, I got one yeah. more speaking of like kind of funny yeah, movie. Oh, God.
Yeah, I can watch that movie over
such a great
and
cast.
Over. Yeah, so you can never go
oh,
wrong
just
with
popped in my head and God, this one.
What?
There was one that popped in my head when you said vampire, and as you guys were talking, I was straining, trying to think of it, and it's gone. Maybe you guys can help me out. I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's
Dracula,
driving me nuts. I don't think
you.
About it. No. No, no, no. Although the very end, Ren, deal.
What's
no? It was oh. I.
What's
the female vampire?
The what?
Female vampire, not vamp. But it was she owned people
innocent
who did
blood.
You know like that's it. Thank you.
Yep, John Landis. Yes, I've got that on DVD too.
So this. Do I. And I can't believe it for some reason it escaped me. But that had a lot of classic zingers in it too.
Yeah, tonight I'm feeling like a little Italian. Robert Loggia was great in that too. I mean, he was so over the top in bits as the mob boss that he played that for great comedy effect. And oh yeah, Don Rickles.
Years.
Don Rickles was like his consigliere in that too. I'd forgot. Oh, I gotta watch that again.
I gotta throw out, can't end without this one. One of my favorite monster movies of all time. Tremors.
Yes. That was
I
one
hate
of the
you,
ones
Joe.
Left on my list.
I love that movie like almost no other when it comes to monster movies.
I haven't watched it in so long. I've been meaning to try to watch it with my daughter. I figured she'd get a kick out of it.
I w-
Everyone
wish
likes
I could
a little
have enjoyed
bacon.
It.
Yeah.
I wish I could have enjoyed it.
Let's see, since
no,
we've kind of...
No, no, no. Thanks to them, nerve damage for the rest of my life. Thank you so fucking much.
Well, can kind of...
You just had the trauma, didn't you? Just had to bring it up.
Point to the part of the podcast where the Tremors movie hurt you, Don.
It hurt me right here. For those who can't see it at home, middle finger is raising up.
Oh, I do have to say, so we've been touching on Joe Dante and John Landis movies. We'd be remiss to leave out one that we watched all as kids, and really it could count as a horror movie because there was some pretty graphic things that happened in it, especially with the whole story of, you know, daddy dying in the chimney as well, but Gremlins.
Gremlins. For, yep. I actually had read something the other day, and I think I knew this before and forgotten it. At one point in that movie, his mother was going to have her head chopped off.
Yes.
And when he came home, it was going to roll down the stairs at him.
Yep.
Like, holy shit. I mean, it was already dark enough for a kid movie. That would have put it way over the top, and I would have absolutely loved it if they had done that. Or even filmed it and had it as an extra somewhere.
It's driving me nuts here. I had to pull it up. Dick Miller. That's the dude's name.
Dick Miller.
Because he was the snowplow driver too. In Gremlins.
Oh, yeah.
He was the guy who sold the silver bullets and the Howling, and oh yeah, Dick Miller's there's a documentary out on Dick Miller that I've been meaning to watch because the guy he was in the old Roger Corman, Bloodbath, I think was one of the ones that he did that, yeah, he's been around for forever and done so many different things. But.
Oh, I got another one, and I can't believe I had forgotten this one because when I was a kid, it was such, I would rent it at least every other weekend and watch it until my dad just recorded it for me, and that's the classic 1986 film House with William Cass.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yes.
And Richard Moore. And Richard Moore.
And George Wendt too.
Yes.
And I can tell you absolutely nothing about that movie now other than I just remember William Cat running through the house and all the different rooms, and there was a zombie that was falling apart that was kind of a cowboy, I think.
No, he's a Vietnam soldier.
Okay, and it was like some sort of like something.
You might
like
be
that.
Thinking of the sequel, Joe, for the cowboy.
I could be, yes. Yeah, because yes. They did like, what, 3, 4, or 5 of those things?
Yeah, I remember seeing House 2. Her puppy must have gotten nipped by the dog. Our dog Roscoe has been quite tolerant of the puppy, but there's times when he's like, "Yeah, back off, fucker."
That's how he learns, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pulling up House 2. Bill Maher was in that. Wow.
So was Kane Hodder, believe it or not. He was the stunt coordinator, but he also actually appeared in the film as the, oh my god, he was the guy in the gorilla suit. When they went to go charging up the stairs, they pushed him over the stairs.
Oh wow. I gotta look and see if those were on Netflix. I might go on a marathon tonight if those were on Netflix. I seriously probably have not watched any of those movies since I was 12 or 13.
Yeah. I just remembered too, that was one of the random things that caught my eye watching those Jaws documentaries. Of course, beside the whole thing, that's a real bad hat, Harry. the making of Jaws documentary that was done, I think at like the 20th or 30th anniversary or something. Maybe the 20th for Laserdisc. That, when the credits were rolling, it said, Jaws memorabilia provided from the collection of Greg Nicotero.
Oh, nice.
Like, I wasn't expecting that name to pop up. So. Yeah. Puppy must be getting in trouble. Yo.
Hey, at least you're lucky. Mine keeps coming in here and farting and then leaving the room. Like, thank you!
Yeah, this creature is so is small, but my god, he can clear a room right now. It's foul. It's one of those things where everyone else in the family looks at each other like, what the hell did you do? Wasn't me. Then you start looking to see where he pooped. No, he's still sleeping there.
Yeah, so. That's why I kind of had to step away for a little bit while we were recording. I'm like, no, that smells way too bad to be just a passing of the gas. No. So I put the microphone on mute, walked out there, I'm looking for a pile, and he's just looking at me like, like, you little fucker.
My oldest dog is ashamed of this gas. He's had moments where he's cleared the room. This old thing, if he just kind of stands up real quick and looks around, then he'll look at you and hang his head and just slowly walk out of the room. You're like, what's the matter? Oh my god!
Sorry, Sean. Sorry.
What are you talking? Oh no, god! And we bring it around.
Yes, sir. Full circle.
We all like good comedy. We all like good horror. We like good comedic horror. There's as those great movies that do find the balance. I know you can go real dark, like Dr. Giggles, to where. Or even Freddy's. I don't know, there got to a point where Freddy was just straight up comical with the way it was going. Versus Dr. Giggles, it's like, you know, someone who's truly demented and he keeps quipping these one-liners and giggling as he's killing people in very creative manners. So, I don't know. It's, any other parting thoughts on comedy and horror?
I think I'm almost tapped out.
Yeah, I'm getting there too. Damn it, Jamie.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get somebody that'll remind us on the page, hey, you forgot this one. Hey, you forgot this one, but I'm pretty much spent from the weekend.
Yeah, well, even to go back to the classics, you can go to, you know, Abbott and Costello Meet Blank.
Yeah. And,
I mean, even those have their fun bits. I haven't watched those in a long time. But yeah, it is like you were saying earlier too, Don, it's that balancing, it's that release valve. It's okay to relax now. We're letting you laugh.
There you go.
Or you can do the other way around of, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to make you drop your guard and then we're going to grab you. And, you know, it's that, well, yeah, you could say it's the Wheaton-esque. It's like, oh my God, we just had 5 minutes of this crashing ship and they're all survived and everything looks good. And then.
Wait for it.
Wheaton.
Yes. It was like our friend Simon. Oh my God. Simon has been on a Wheaton marathon this weekend.
Yeah. So he's been on a tear.
And so it started yesterday. I mean, posting, you know, the lovable bits here and there. And then he posted Fred and Wesley from the Angel finale. Do you want me to lie to you now? And I'm mm-hmm. like, thank you, sir, for peeling that scab back. I'm like, God. And then was it after that he posted, forgetting the guy's the character's name from the first season or two of Angel, who got killed off, the half demon.
Doyle.
Yes. And then, the last one I saw him posting was, from the final episode, of Firefly. You know, when you can't walk, you crawl. And when you can't crawl, you have someone carry you home. And I'm just like, why do I have the feeling the next post and picture you're going to put up, Simon, is going to be something regarding leaves and on the wind and something like that? Yeah, his response, give me 10 minutes. Like, that's it, man. I'm nicknaming you Wesley from Princess Bride over the weekend because it's through the pain. It's like, damn, man, you keep pounding my feels.
He was going all out too because he wasn't just sticking to TV shows and movies. He was reading some of the comics that he had written as well.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's what happens when you give a college student a 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you guys want to touch on?
I have a recommendation that I know I have to be the only one that's seen it because it was at the, Crimson Screen Film Festival that I went to last year. There's an indie horror movie out there called Don't Go to the Reunion. And the only place I know it is available for certain is on Amazon. And I think it's like $1.99, $2 somewhere in through there. But it's a total like 80s sort of throwback mm-hmm. about a deranged killer who was picked on in high school. He was all into like horror movies. And then you flash to the high school reunion. And people start getting, that had picked on him, start getting off one by one in very imaginative ways. And it is probably one of my favorite things I saw last year. Like that and the short film Foodie were my two favorite things I saw. But Don't Go to the Reunion. If you don't have anything else to watch and you pull up Amazon and want to give it a go, it is worth the $2 for sure.
Is that one like a straight up horror? Or is that one?
No. It's hilarious. Funny bits all throughout it and just like the ways the kills are done, like, everything about it is kind of funny, but yet at the same time, just.
And there it goes.
I was going to say, that reminds me for another one to throw in, because it was out about the same time as Student Bodies, was National Lampoon's Class Reunion.
Don't remember that one either.
Oh, that one is hilarious because it's got, what's the actor's name? He's actually a musician. He's, Anthony Kiedis' dad, Blackie something. That, it's the whole thing of it's, got a lot of recognizable characters. Stephen First is in it as the friendly fat guy. And, there's other recognizable character actors in it anyways, but the whole premise is you had, Lizzie Borden High School. That 10 years before, that there was some tragic event that happened on the graduation night, and then they have their 10-year class reunion. Everyone comes back, and someone's killing them off one by one. But it's done straight up comedy. There's bits because it's like the killer wears a it's based off the what happens on the tragic night. But I would recommend looking that one up. It's a little dated. For some of it that happens in it, but you actually have Chuck Berry playing at their class reunion. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, I'd recommend that one too. So anywho, that comes up about on our recording time. We actually filled out the episode, folks.
Nice.
So, anything else anybody wants to add on anything?
Nope, it's time for me to take Amanda to dinner.
Yep, I gotta start getting myself cleaned up to go out for dinner and shopping for my Father's Day. So, since we're recording a little later than we normally do on our days, but hey, it happens. We're getting a show out though. So, I can say for myself, be sure to check out our Facebook page for the podcast, Podcast Macabre. That's what I was going to mention on the last episode and I forgot to. That, in my last horror block, I got another one of the, book collection things that, Rue Morgue Magazine has been doing, because I've got the first book that they did. It is called, 200 Alternative Horror Films You Need to See. And it's an awesome list. That book's a great list. I didn't get the second book yet, but they sent the third book, in this month's horror block, and it's pretty much a whole collection of the articles or the columns that I'd already been borrowing from to put up Macabre Minutia on the Facebook page. So I've got a lot more ammunition. I can start doing it more regularly again. let's see. You can hit me up on Twitter if you want to. I'm at _duckman_. I've got my blog Making It Through the Middle over on blogger.com. It's got some horror related posts to it. And I actually need to get a post out today or else I'm going to be failing in getting my weekly posts out. So, what about you guys?
Go ahead, Don.
No, I was just starting to think. But go ahead. It's going to take me a while. Go ahead.
Well, for us on Twitter, follow us at Podcast Macabre and then myself, at That Joe Myers.
And I never remember my Twitter handle. I never do. I rarely use it, to be honest, but actually I just posted earlier today because I was at a hockey tournament this past weekend and the captain of our team, Mark Bell, he went all out on his goalie gear. I mean, we're talking full rainbow unicorn explosion.
I saw that picture.
That he actually blew up Twitter yesterday.
Really?
Starting Friday night into Saturday, he was like, I guess there's a Facebook page and there's also a Twitter account that's dedicated to people who really love goalie equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And one person took a picture of it and it just went, like within 5 minutes, it would just blew things up.
Wow.
And you could not have seen a prouder guy. I mean, it was epic. But, oh God, you can catch me at BullyInGoal71 on Twitter. You can get my name on the Podcast Macabre page and then just search me out there as far as like on Facebook. Again, I cannot stress it enough. Please let me know where I know you from, because otherwise I'm just going to look at your name and go, I have no idea who you are. Delete. Period. Just if I don't know you, I'm not friending you.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, about the hockey tournament, we kind of won.
You guys do? Awesome.
I don't want to say I because it was kind of a mixed feeling kind of fit thing because I was really feeling like crap, which again, and I know who's putting the pin needles in the voodoo doll. Knock the fucking shit off, all right? But I felt like dog shit the entire time I was there. I only started feeling better, like about maybe a little better about Saturday afternoon and a little bit better Saturday night, but whatever I've got is not going away. But basically I played half a game on Saturday for my team and then they gave me a proposition to play in goal for one of the other teams. And I just looked at them and go, guys, please, I'm just begging you. You know, I'm trying hard not to vomit. I'm trying not to, for lack of better words, I'm not trying to shit myself here. Can you try to keep it away from me? And God bless them, they did. I only think I never got a good statistic on how many shots I actually blocked. I know how many goals I allowed, which was 9, which a funny goal I allowed was, three of the fastest guys on my team, that's who I was playing, by the way. Three of the fastest guys on my team start charging at me, and I just went, yep, I'm out, and I just start walking away from the goal. I'm like, it's yours, take it. I'm not even gonna block it. It's yours. But, basically, you know, God love them, they kept it out of my end. I was fighting, throwing up the entire time I was out there, but, you know, I got my first win at a Brantford Street Hockey tournament. They did it for me because they knew I wanted to at least win one for my mom.
Cool.
So they were actually doing it for me so I could actually get that promise, if you will.
Yeah. Cool.
So it was cool.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I think that does it for our episode this week. And hopefully we'll try to post a little more frequently, dear listeners. But again, it's summertime and schedules are still kind of all over the place. And internet connections as well. So.
Poor Jen.
I know. She keeps having more issues than the rest of us. It's like she knew we were going to talk about The Walking Dead or something. That used to be the... So, until next time, folks, I've been Chris.
I'm Joe.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
This is Don.
With the special skills. So, once again, folks, don't be afraid of the dark. Be afraid of what's in it.